This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
You may find yourself failing at things. I understand that. I get it. I can make a list of things I feel like I failed at or whatever. Things that maybe years ago feel that way. Here's the thing about that, though. I have found that having a sense of humor about it can really help so you don't kick yourself. I think when you're in your 20s, particularly, so many things are taken so seriously, or you think you should be a success by 28 or something. Like there's a tremendous amount of pressure, and that pressure might continue later on in life, but you can get a better sense of humor about it later on. Like, I blew something this last weekend. I just felt really bad about it. It's just a career thing. And it's actually kind of funny.
That does come with maturity.
It really does. I think so. That's why it's so hard, I think, when you're a young adult. Mm-hmm. Like, because, again, you've got the pressure, and you can feel like you're failing, but you haven't inherited the sense of humor about it, going, you know what, that's going to pass, too. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It really isn't. You may be able to relate to this, maybe not. If you've ever failed, you can relate to it. And that can be morally, too. We were just talking about failure and dealing with it. It's hard, though, when it comes to morality stuff. Like, you've done something you know is wrong. You're willing to admit it. That's good. I think, though, a lot of us feel like, okay, I'm doing real well, and then I messed up, so I got to start all over. What have I done? And we feel very guilty about something. I understand that. If we're all being honest, we've all been there. The neat thing is, and I had a friend point this out, like, it's like riding a bike, and let's say you ride it 15 miles, then you fall off, and you fall in the ditch. You should get back on the bike and go, wow, I'm not doing that again. But it doesn't mean you didn't cover the 15 miles. Like, it's not, you don't have to go all the way back and start. It matters. Like, we're all in a struggle. We're human. We all mess up. We all fall off. Get back on, and the ground you gained, it's not like it doesn't count. It does count. Love this idea. You ever go in a store and be overwhelmed by all the beeping and the electronic stuff and the TVs on and the overhead noise, like at an electronic store?
Have I ever been overwhelmed by that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Then you won't relate to this. Anyone else? Is there anyone else I could talk to about this? This is cool that there's a store. It's in the UK, so it's not here, but they're doing a quiet hour every day. For people, particularly because they've seen shoppers who have autism.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, so that's why I have a problem with
this. Right, I understand.
Like, I go to, there was that time we had a staff outing to Dave and Buster's or something.
Oh, yeah, that was almost hurtful for you.
Oh, it was just like the beeping, the buzzing, the lights, mm-hmm. the flying monkeys, the noises, the
tickets
music.
Tickets everywhere.
Like, what is happening to me? I like this because they're like, well, we'll all come and say shut everything off mm-hmm. or turn it down so that it's not overwhelming and go in there and think.
That's good.
Yeah, I like the idea. I don't know if we'll catch on, but I like it. You may have known this already, but if you're struggling with weight stuff, portion sizes are the thing. I mean, we eat way too much. They say, like, for pasta, you need to think in terms of a tennis ball.
Okay.
Like, whatever could fit. That's a serving of pasta. Stop after that.
Stop after the tennis ball serving?
Yeah, with meat, it's a deck of cards.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for. Like, the servings are so much smaller than what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true. If you get tiny plates, it sounds dumb, and you're gonna think it's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna think I'm making this up, but it really matters. I actually have an acquaintance who does the research on this at Cornell.
Okay.
And he says tiny plates make a difference. You get a smaller plate, you feel more sated.
Because it feels like your plate was full.
It's all relative.
Okay.
Yeah, you get a giant, like the plates are huge now compared to what people used in the 50s. Our plates are huge.
That makes sense.
So you put stuff on there, but if you get a small plate, you kind of pile it on there.
Mm-hmm.
You feel
Looks like
full.
You ate a lot.
Yeah. I think one thing that if people do get smaller plates like that, They'll be like, okay, well, how can I make the plate edible?
Okay.
Because I need more. I think that's what's going to happen. Small plate, fine.
Can I eat it?
Yeah. Can you bake it and then put glaze on it? Thank you. You might be friends with somebody or even married to somebody or you have a, you know, just a long-term working relationship. And your relationship can change over time. I've noticed that. You can go from being, hey, how you doing, to hanging out, to best friends, to kind of bored with each other, to no, now it's excited, no, now it's not. Like, things ebb and flow. There's different colors of the palette there with relationships over time. I think the same thing is true with God. You know, like as you get older, you'll realize I went through this and then I went through that. And then you kind of develop this story with them. The problem is for a lot of us, including me, you'll go through this emotional thing and then you won't have the emotions and you'll think God's left you. Mm. And he hasn't. It's just, it's taken on a different, it is a relationship and relationships take on different flavors over time. Doesn't mean he walked out the door. A lot of the songs on this station, you probably notice this, the songs are about God and how good he is and about Jesus. And we talk about this stuff. It's odd though, because sometimes, like if you hear me talk about my relationship with God, you might think, oh, that's the way to do it or something because he's on the radio, ergo, he's the expert on, you probably don't think that.
Someone's
just on me like, oh, Brant, you're incredible. That's probably what you're thinking. And you're like, no.
But au contraire.
No, I'm not thinking that. But it does happen, especially if you're new to faith in Jesus. Like you will look at somebody and go, okay, my relationship with God has to look like that. But that's not true with any relationship.
No, every relationship is different. And how
totally.
I relate to a person can be different and will be different than the way you relate to the exact same person.
Even in the same workplace,
yeah.
Even the same home, the same church family. It's just, and it's going to be the same way with God. There's different, he made us differently. So mm-hmm. I love that now, but it's one reason to stay together. Like, don't do this on your own because other people will bring out facets of God that you won't otherwise know about. Shane is on the phone. You had a favor you wanted?
I have a coworker who listens. Her name is Victoria. I would appreciate it if you guys would just let her know how awesome of an opportunity she has to work with me because she tends to doubt it.
What's the matter with her? She has some kind of problem?
That's what I want to know. Maybe you could ask her that.
Huh. I don't know if this is the best way to approach it. So
maybe through a song. Maybe I should write a song.
Oh, a song of advice to let Victoria know.
I let her know every day that, you know, how great she has got it for working with me. And every day she uh-huh. rolls her eyes at it.
Oh, brother.
Brant will take care of that.
What job do you have? Where do you work?
I do, like, work comp stuff.
Workers comp?
Workers comp, yeah.
Okay. Good to know. I'm just trying to think of how to shape this
boy,
song.
This should be good.
I can't wait.
I'm like this. A little funky. Something like that. I want to get that.
Right there.
Yeah,
I hear it.
Hey there, Miss Victoria. It's Victoria.
Victoria.
Hey there, Miss Victoria. When Shane's walking in the door, yeah. Gotta show my boy some respect. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know it's true, Victoria. He's trying to establish some rapport with ya. On the workers' comp shop floor with ya. Just needs respect. I'm dropping beats on the 2 and 4, yeah. Like some mythical centaur, yeah.
Wow.
On a mythical dance floor, yeah. And if you want to know for sure, yeah. Yeah, I did say centaur, yeah. I'm asking you, Victoria. Whoa. Is that something you did not care for, yeah? A workers' comp office is an important office. Gotta get along or they'll lay off us. Every 2 weeks they'll pay off us. Even if we're sick with whooping cough us. Yeah. Like that.
Wow. Well,
see how I broke it down?
I saw the breakdown. It was actually very important. Look out, Toby Mac.
There were a lot of breakdowns.
Break it down all over the place.
A lot of breakdowns. News from the world of science about you and how much coffee you drink. You can keep on drinking it. 2 cups, 3 cups, 4 cups, 5 cups, 6 cups, 7 cups more because they say it doesn't result in increased heart risk according to a study.
Oh.
Now. Have I examined the methodology behind this study? No.
And are there other studies that say there is a risk?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But I will ignore them because I like studies that affirm what I'm already doing, and I'm drinking too much coffee.
Okay.
I know it's not good for me.
But this study says
right.
It is or it's okay, and so you'll accept
yes,
that.
Yes, so I have, no pun intended, filtered out the other studies in order to give you this. Because that's how the media works.
Right.
Okay.
We're the media. That's
we're the
what
media.
We do.
Yeah, we get to do that too. So that's there. Hey, if you know music, I think you'll agree with me. I've taken 2 piano lessons now in the past couple weeks. My first 2 piano lessons ever.
And?
And I think I would like to start a petition drive.
Already?
I hope it's okay. I want to get rid of the bass clef.
Okay.
I don't see any reason for that.
It's just confusing.
It is. It's different.
Right.
Like, I'm learning that on one clef, it's called treble clef.
Treble clef, right.
You already heard about this.
I did. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, they it's EGBDF, like every good boat does float.
Oh, I never heard that. I heard every good boy does fine.
That's another one I learned that my piano teacher told me about last week. So I've been studying all of that. But then on the bass clef, it looks like the same lines.
Yeah, but it means something
It's not
different.
Every good boat does float anymore. It's something totally different.
So boats aren't floating and that's throwing you off.
So what's, I think a petition, I don't know who to submit it to. I guess the government.
Maybe the UN.
Like, maybe the UN. I don't know. But it's like, we don't need that. I don't want that.
There are musicians that appreciate it, though, and they excel at it. So could this just be maybe a deficiency in what you have? Maybe you can just kind of maybe catch up?
I want to get rid of the bass clef. So that's what, that's what my plan is. Some people are shocked and scandalized by something I just proposed on the show, which is now that I've taken two piano lessons, I think it's a good idea. Like, there's this bass clef thing. I want to get rid of it. So I'm doing like a petition drive to get rid of it. It's too confusing.
After just two lessons, you don't want to give it like four or maybe
hard
10
enough, like,
for
you.
You
don't, just keep it the same as the other clefs.
Okay.
All right?
Make it easier for
that's
everyone.
Also, and I'm just proposing this too, sharps and flats.
Okay. The black keys on the piano. No need for them.
Way too complex.
Okay.
Way too complex. I learned how to do a scale. And I'm like, cool, mastered it.
Right.
My teacher says, well, actually, there's all these other scales.
Yeah.
And now, like, are you kidding me? I got this. I got C down.
Okay.
You knew.
Yes, I do know.
All right. Well, you're already up on this. Yeah. Let's get rid of that. Sharps, flats. Bass clef
stuff. But sharp flats, that's the beauty of music. That's where you get your chords from. That's where you get be able to paint a landscape. It's beautiful.
It's too hard.
It's too...
And so I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
Are you?
Yeah. Welcome. Have a seat. You are welcome here at the Honesty Cafe. That's what we call it. We just ask you a question. No wrong answers. We're just sitting here munching on some delicious burnt toast. Having some Diet Pepsi, huh?
All I ever want. Well, Diet Pepsi,
I know.
Thank you.
That's for you.
I'm glad they added that to this cafe. Usually it's coffee.
Yeah.
Now, can we add some different food? I'm not big on... No.
Nope. Okay. And here's a question I want to ask you, Kim. Are you very good at rest? There's actually a lot in the Bible about rest and God giving us rest and stuff.
Truthfully, I don't think I'm very good at it at all.
Why do you say that?
I'm used to go, go, go. And when I have the downtime, I get restless.
Feel like you should be doing something.
Yes, that I should be doing something. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I've got, you know, you look around saying, I should be doing something. I should be doing something. And I don't think, here, especially here in the United States, we have any resources in order to help us actually have downtime.
I think that's true, which is weird because we've got it great, all the technology, right? So we should have more leisure time, but we don't. And people always feel like they got to be doing something, something productive. And if not, you feel guilty about it. And then whenever you ask people, hey, how's it going? Busy. Nobody's like, I'm not busy. Ever.
No.
You don't want to seem like a slacker.
And that's just it.
No.
That's my point.
Yep.
Exactly.
Sherry just swerved right into my point.
Here we are.
Did you see how I did that?
I saw exactly what you did, and I walked into it.
Yeah, I walked right into it. That's good.
I feel like there's a difference between resting and being lazy. So lazy, I'm good at. Resting, probably not so much.
Really? How would you define the difference? That's intriguing.
I feel like resting is more, it's more intentional. Resting is more intentional, where being lazy is just like, I don't feel like doing anything. Or there's something I should be doing, but I'm choosing not to. Where resting is like, I picture it as like, that could be like God time. You know, like you're just being quiet and you're being still and you're...
Recharged.
Thinking or... Yes, exactly.
I understand both. I think that's a great distinction to make. And to be honest, being lazy isn't particularly restful.
That's true, because your mind's always thinking about what you should be doing.
Yeah.
That's how mine is.
Right, then you feel guilty for not doing it.
Thank you to the MediShare people for sponsoring our podcast. A lot of people who listen are members of MediShare. If you're not, you should at least look into it, I would think, because you might wind up saving a tremendous amount of money. A lot of people's health insurance bills have gone up. Like, even if you've got a plan at work, your premium goes up so high, you may want to look into an alternative to insurance. This is a way for people to share their medical bills with each other. And it is fantastic for so many people because it's not only the money savings, but it's the fact that it's relational and you're actually connected to other people who believe in Jesus. They're professing Christians, mm-hmm. and they're all trying to help with each other's medical bills. We have a website. If you're interested, just go to biblicalhealthcare.com. It's biblical for a number of reasons, but I would say principally because you're sharing with other people willingly. So this is a different kind of way to make sure that your medical bills are paid for.
And the phone number is 855-772-5699. And if you do decide to do it, it works out for you, please call us as well or email us and let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it's going. And again, it's biblicalhealthcare.com. You may recall a news story. We talked about it here on the show. A big ship, an explorer ship in England, was putting up on the internet, like, vote for a new name mm-hmm. for this new $500 million ship.
And what do you think happened? Well, actually did happen.
The winner of the vote easily was somebody submitted Bodie McBoatface. They wanted, like, the HMS Robert Byrd or something.
Yeah, something that actually meant something. Although yeah. Bodie McBoatface is not bad.
I thought it was good. they've now overruled that. They've overruled the vote. They're going to name it something else.
No,
all
that's
is not,
not
lost.
Fair.
All
okay.
is not lost because in Austin, mm-hmm. they have decided that they're going to rename an elementary school, and they have left it up to a vote.
And let me guess.
And the current, yeah, go ahead. Guess what the current leader is for this elementary school.
Schooly McSchoolface.
Schooly McSchoolface.
That's awesome for every kid that goes to that What's school. I'm in third grade at Schooly
They're
McSchoolface.
Never I would love that as a kid. I don't know what the nickname for the school.
Perfect.
I love that. I want to apologize for something. Not a specific something, but a general something. If I ever come across as preachy, please forgive me for that. I don't ever mean to. No one's brought this up recently, by the way. They've not been like, hey, Brian, you're really preachy. But it does cross my own mind because here we are, we're on the air, we're talking about important things, and I'm always so thankful that God's allowed us to have any role in your life whatsoever. You may not even know my name right now. It doesn't matter. You just tuned in. The very fact that you're listening to my voice is such an honor to me. I know Sherry feels the same way, that God's allowed us to play any role in your life at all. The thing is, when you talk about important things, you don't know how you come off. Mm-hmm. It's hard. That causes me every now and then to lose a little bit of sleep at night. I'll be thinking about, man, did I say that right? Because I want to represent just how good God is in an honest way and not get in the way by being preachy or just being too brant or something, whatever it is. I don't want to get in the way. And I know he uses our show. I've seen it happen in this station. He's good like that. He'll use anybody. But please do forgive me if I ever come across that way. It's because we're talking about important stuff, and sometimes I don't always say it right. This is a moment right now when a lot of people are very nervous because there's a whole planet at stake here, an alien planet. It will blow up if Taryn, who's on the phone, gets a question wrong. Are you ready for this, Taryn? If you get it right, you'll be a hero.
Oh, gosh. I failed at this last time. Okay.
Did you?
Oh, boy.
No, there's always...
There's always another planet.
Different planet.
Okay.
Forget about that. I will tell you that today's kind of a special day. It's their big yearly alien festival called Alien Day.
Oh.
And so they're all in their plazas
and
they're doing stuff.
On every alien planet or just this one?
This one.
This one, okay.
So if it blows up today, it would be especially bad.
Well.
Just tragic.
They would not see
on
it
Alien
coming.
Day. They have big banners that say Alien Day on it. They realize they're aliens.
Right.
Which I like.
And they're celebrating it. Viva la de France.
Uh-huh. Okay, here is your question. With the planet hanging in the balance, how long total, this is on average, do expecting parents generally spend trying to come up with a name for their baby? How long on average do expecting parents, this is total, generally spend trying to come up with a name for their baby? Is it 2 hours, 10 hours, or 40 hours?
Total. I'm gonna go with 10.
Okay, this All is right. according to the latest data. The average amount of time they spend total is 40.
Oh no!
No!
Oh, on their special
alien
day.
On Alien Day of all things. Of all the, there's little pieces of confetti floating by.
40
lots of banners.
Little balloons.
Oh, dear. Oh. This is tough.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry, alien. Failed you again.
The average amount of time parents spend picking out a new baby name, actually 40-plus hours.
That's amazing.
On average. I'm not shocked myself. We spent a lot of time on it, but Taryn was shocked.
It's just, it seems like an astronomical amount of time to spend talking
Yeah,
about
I know. Actually, you know what? It was the figure I actually saw was 45. It does
That's
seem high.
Ridiculous.
How long do you think you spent with, you know, figuring something out for your kids?
Probably less than an hour. I mean, with my youngest, I actually had a dream, and in my dream, his name was Caden. And so that was his name, because I woke up and I told my husband, I was like, I had a dream, this is his name. He's like, all right, let's do it. That was it. Like,
I was afraid you're going to say, oh, it took me like 20 minutes, but all three of my kids are named Bob.
Bob, you know, one, two,
including
and
the
three.
Girl.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brand and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.